Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. There are some truths that should be known all year long, not just at Christmas and Easter. And today, I'm going to talk about one of those things, and here's our subject. Out of darkness, light has come. Now, to understand what the scriptures teach about this, it's important that we understand exactly what an analogy is. So let me put it up on the screen for you. When we talk about light versus darkness in scripture, we're talking analogically. An analogy is the adaptation of one thing to illustrate another. And, oh, let me give you another definition. It's a comparison made between one thing and another for the purpose of explanation or comparison. And so we use them all day long, or it's as hot as hell. it's never been that hot yet, but we use that as an analogy of heat. And an analogy is like a parallel, an equivalent, an analog, if you please. And the purpose of it is to help explain exactly a specific truth by illustrating it from something else. So when we talk about out of darkness, light has come, we are in fact talking about an analogy. And so I want you to see this, because our subject today is darkness. But out of darkness, a light has come. In fact, here comes the scripture. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. It's here. But men love darkness rather than the light. They don't want the light. And this is about to tell us why. And men love the darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. It's an amazing thing that when the sun goes down at night, the crime rate goes up. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And everyone that does evil hates the light. They don't want the light. And here's the reason why. They don't want to come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. In other words, if people knew what they were doing in the dark, they wouldn't do it because they're being watched, they're being observed, but they try to get away with the darkness and stay away from the light because if the light came, look at the scripture, they don't come to the light because their deeds would be reproved. But on the other hand, he that does the truth comes to the light. He has no problem coming to the light. And the reason is simple as to why he is willing to come to the light. It's that his deeds may be manifest. He doesn't have a problem now because the light's shining and I'm willing to do in my life what anybody can see, and especially God, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are in fact wrought in God. They are wrought in God. They have no problem because I'm doing godly stuff. And so I have no problem with what's going on because the light's not a bother to me anymore. Again, the scripture says that his deeds may be manifest. So understand with me, the fact is simply this, that darkness is now our present cultural condition. We are in big trouble. It's our present culture. It's so widespread. Evil is so over the whole culture. Now, there's an interesting scripture. It says that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. I want to help us just grasp what that means. If any man love the culture, the love of the Father is not in him. See, the culture is generally speaking at odds with God. It's become so dark that light is scarce. So let's look at what the scriptures say now. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And look at this, and gross darkness the people. This was predicted way back before Jesus, the light, arrived here. Darkness, behold, look at it. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. So what is darkness in our analogy? It is the absence of moral and spiritual goodness. That's what darkness is about. And so we must understand that, in fact, there are such a thing as dark personalities. Socially aversive traits, narcissism, sadism, greed, spitefulness, dark personalities. We live in an age of dark personalities. And we've got dark money, all kinds of it, don't we? And what is dark money? It's money that's secretly used to promote governments. And so we have this problem here of dark money being used to produce dark politics. Remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. We not only have dark politics, but we've dark justice. So judges are for sale. The judicial system is influenced. Bribery exists in mass. And that's what we mean by darkness. It is the absence of moral and spiritual truth. The motive behind so much of what's going on in the dark today is the love of money. And then we have dark psychology. It is using psychological methods of manipulation to the detriment of people. I mean, psychology used to be a practice where you went there to get help of all different sizes. But now we are going to deal with people with a psychological approach that's going to hurt, damage, or destroy them, but it's going to benefit us personally. So here we have the problem. Darkness shall cover the culture, the earth, and gross darkness shall cover the people. In fact, let's go to that scripture. They that will be rich, because remember the money thing, fall into temptation and into a snare, because it has replaced moral and judgment about the good things in life. So they're tempted and they get snared. And they end up with many foolish and hurtful lusts, and that drowns men in the opposite of light, in destruction and perdition. Look at this. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And while some coveted after it, they erred from the faith. Whoa. Darkness is coming. They have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we understand that in our present cultural condition, there is just so very much darkness. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now, here's what I want you to grasp next. Not only about the darkness, but we must understand that only light can overcome all the dark sides that exist. Only light can do that. Remember, a scripture, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, to help you grasp this from the King James Version, look at this. The darkness can't put out the light. The darkness has no power over the light, but the light can dispel the darkness. The darkness could not put out the light. The darkness can never extinguish the light. And in fact, the darkness has never overpowered the light, has never put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it. It has no power over the light. Only the light has power over the darkness. Now, I mentioned this verse a moment ago, so I want to go back there. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But look at this now. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The light is rising, is risen. The darkness covers the earth, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And that's why the verse before this actually says this. Arise, don't be depressed about the dark, because look at this. And arise and shine, for the light is come. Your light, thy light, look at this. Thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Whoa. And so we celebrated at Christmas time, but we shouldn't just celebrate it at Christmas time. The arrival of the light that dispels darkness was started at the birth of Jesus. Oh my goodness. Remember this, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness to people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. I don't want you to miss this, so take a look at this. The glory, the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So we learned that we live in a lot of darkness. Now we've learned that only light can overcome the darkness. And now what we want to understand is that there is only one authentic source of light. Only one. I want you to see it. One source of moral and spiritual. There's only one source of light that can dispel the darkness. There's only one source of moral and spiritual goodness that can put out the darkness of evil. So let's look at that. Here comes the scripture once again, because on that we rely. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's referring to Jesus, right? The living Word. The same was in the beginning with God. Yes, he was. And look at this. Never forget who Jesus was. Before he came here, he was the creator. All things were made by him. Look at this. And without him was not anything made that was made. Whoa. This is an amazing thing. God came here. Why? To be the light. For in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life, his life, was the light of men. Whew. Only one authentic source of light. In him was life. Let's go back to that verse. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that was the true light. We're going to come to the false lights in a moment. But that was a true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was the true light. And so we understand that there's gross darkness all around us. And there's a need for light, but there's only one authentic source of light. And you guessed it, it was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God who became man, that we who are men might be saved. Now, there was another messenger at that time. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Remember? John the Baptist. And he came to be a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Wonderful. So John came to make sure we got. Remember he said that famous line, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." It's amazing. So John came to bear witness of the light. And what's going to happen is that through this light, all men might be saved. From what? Believed to be saved from what? From the darkness. Look at it again. The light that all men through him might believe. That's why he came. But let's not finish. This is a famous chapter. Here it goes. The Word was made flesh. That is God becoming a man. And he dwelt among us. Isn't that amazing? Let me talk about that just for a moment. It's almost beyond imagination that the Creator would reduce himself to be one like one of his created for the purposes of communicating and salvaging. Now, I don't, everybody has, when they're a child, have a little cage with ants in it. We watch the ants. It's hard to communicate with ants. About the only way you could ever communicate with ants is if you became an ant. Then you could be down at their level and they would understand you because you're an ant. But that is a very poor comparison with God, who left his glory above, walked down across the star-studded diamond constellations of the universe, and used the planets as stepping stones for his feet, and came in view of the darkened hills of Judea. An angel sang, and humanity reached out in desperation for deliverance, and a baby was born. Now, who would have guessed? God coming like a baby. I think that should be a really good indication of his character. Humility. There was no brass band. There was no confetti floating through the air. No marches and parades. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. The light had come. There's only one authentic source of light, Jesus the Christ. Now, the next thing I want you to grasp is that the rejection of light causes a continuation in darkness. Because there are those, look at this thing, there are those that rebel against the light. They don't know the ways thereof of the light. They don't abide in the paths of the light. They are rebels against the light. They grope in the dark without light, and they stagger like drunken men. One translation says they grope in the dark without a clue, lurching and staggering like drunks. Because the rejection of light means they get stuck in the darkness. And that's not very nice. Not very nice at all. It is Jesus, the light of the world, that eliminates darkness. I don't want you to miss this. So look at the scripture with me. For thou wilt light my candle, the prophet and the psalmist said, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. I'm going to get out of the dark. The Lord is my light. This is a great scripture, isn't it? And my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the light of my salvation and my salvation. For with thee is the fountain of life. Now look at this. And in thy light shall we see light. Oh my goodness. This is so important. And Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not walk in darkness, but should have the light of life. Jesus comes to eliminate the darkness. Now, here's a prophetic announcement of this. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have the light shined. And then the scripture says, the light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright. So the light was prophesied to be on the way. And now when you get to the New Testament, Jesus actually is citing this same prophecy of Isaiah, and this is what he said. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. Now watch this. He pronounced that he was that person, and watch the next verse. From that time, after his announcement that he was the fulfillment of that prophecy, that he was the light, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came to eliminate the darkness. In fact, the scripture says that then after that, Jesus spoke again to the disciples saying, look at this now, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in moral depravity, shall not walk in evil, shall not walk in damnation, but shall have the light of life. Oh my, this is indeed so delightful. Here's what he says. And whenever Jesus speaks, you want to pay special attention. He says, I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. And it could literally be physically blind people, or it could be people just can't see, remember? Because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Well, maybe come to that. But I will bring the blind by a way which they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. And I'll make the crooked things straight. Oh my goodness. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. It's phenomenal. I'm going to bring the blind by a way they don't know. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make the darkness light before them and the crooked paths straight. So out of the darkness, light has come. Jesus, the light of the world. Anyone who follows Jesus is out of the darkness, no longer involved in wickedness, evil, narcissism, greed. But at the same time, and we need to be aware of darkness that is disguised as light, right? Disguised as light. Look at the scripture. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Now watch this. And they put light for darkness and darkness for light. They were bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. And why do they do this? Because they think they're smarter than God. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. What I want you to catch, though, is this. There are those who call evil good and good evil. There are those that put darkness for the light and light for darkness. In fact, we mentioned a few a moment ago about the different kinds of dark sides there are, including the court system, which now declares very much many things that are evil to be good, when in fact they're evil. That's the dark side of the judicial system. We have political parties who put darkness for light and light for darkness, that call evil good and good evil. This is stunning. So what's this now? We've got to, in this culture, beware of those who give us disguised light that's really darkness. So the scriptures come along and give us this warning. For such are false apostles. They're fake. Fake preachers. Deceitful workers. Now watch this. They are hypocrites of the worst order. Watch this now. but they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. They make out like they are really Christ. Ha! They don't look like this, they do without the horns. And in fact, it comes in many different disguises. They are false prophets, deceitful workers. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're fake, but they are bringing false light. Now comes the scripture and says, this is no marvel. Watch this now. For Satan himself, Satan, is transformed into an angel of light. We usually think of Satan looking like this, but that's not what he looks like. You won't find him with a tail and red suit and horns. You'll find him looking like an angel. The Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Fake light. Pretended light. What a trap. What a trick. So it's no great thing if his ministers, devils, demons, people who work with the devil, also be transformed. Look at this. As ministers of righteousness. And they're not righteous. They're wicked. They're evil. Despicable. They're darkness, but they pretend to be light in order to lead people the wrong way. We must beware of darkness. So I want you not to miss this, though, because the scriptures are really plain. Look at what they say. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No grays, no light grays, no dark grays, no in-between grays, nothing but absolute moral purity. No place of evil at all. Oh, let's not miss that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness. No moral impurity. No evil. No dishonesty. No narcissism. No hypocrisy. None. Why? Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, if you'll join me in becoming very aware of the light, this glorious light, then you can, and oh, please hear me good right now, you can have the joy of walking in the light and not in the darkness. Remember, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So watch with me now, because if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're lying. And we're not doing the truth, because remember, the light has truth, darkness is error. But if we walk in the light, and this is the great joy, look at this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now watch this now, because I'm going to ask you to look at my hand motion here. If we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Vertical, like this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What is that? Gets rid of all the past darkness. It is gone, 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 gone. That's really important. To come into the light means to get rid of the past darkness. The light will do that. Look at the scripture. For you were sometimes darkness, but now, you are light in the Lord, so make sure that you walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Watch this now, because here's our clue that light means goodness. Light means righteousness. Light means the truth. We walk as children of light because the fruit of that is goodness and righteousness and truth. And we prove everything that's acceptable to the Lord because then we stay out of darkness by looking for the evidence. And we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we're opposition of them. We rather reprove them. In fact, it's so bad, the darkness is so bad. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. The gross darkness, the stuff that's in the darkness is so gross that to even say what it is to contaminate the listening ear. But all things are reproved. Everything that is reproved is made manifest by the light. The light shows up what things really are. For whatsoever doth make manifest is the light. Now, we're almost to the pitch that I don't want you to miss. Because we've learned that it's gross darkness. We've learned that a light was needed and that a light came, that the only authentic light is Jesus. We've learned to beware of fake light. And now we've just talked about the joy of walking in the light. Because if we do that, we'll never stumble, never falter, never fail, never fall. And now here's what I want you to really grab. And that is that the light of Jesus, remember, he said, I'm the light of the world. The light of Jesus is transferred to us, to you. If you're walking in the light, you become a light giver. Now, this is really important. I want you to see it in the scripture. For the scripture says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I wish we had time to talk about each of these, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him, look at this now, who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Here we go. Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Whew. And so watch on with me. For look at this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? It's referring to Jesus, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his son. Look at this now, delivered us from the power of darkness. This begs at least a brief commentary here. The power of darkness. The trap, the snare, the bondage, the chain, the shackles. Darkness ends up ruling a person's life, and breaking out of the darkness is not easy, and it can only be done by the light. He delivers from the power of the darkness. Gone all the self-destructive behaviors. Not only that, not only taking us out of darkness, but look at this. He's taking us out of darkness and he's translating us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have, look at this now, redemption, that is redemption from the power of darkness that we once walked in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I mean, everything past is gone. The darkness is gone. The light has come. And we walk in the light and we get to be the light. And so the scriptures come again. I hope you love the scriptures. That's my favorite part. You, brethren, are not in darkness, that the night should, that the day should overtake you as a thief, because you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness.
Wow.
We live in moral purity, in goodness, in faith, in benefit to all mankind. We're not of the dark, of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let's not get lax and sleepy about this, as some do, but let us watch and be sober, be serious, because this is really important part. Now, here's what I wanted to get to. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's why you need to follow his footsteps. That's why you need to know the Gospels, the storyline. What's interesting, the last verse of John, that if all the things that Jesus did were written down, there wouldn't be enough books in the world. The Gospels only pick up a few of them. Here's the light. So you want to watch. Why? Because you learn to be like him. So back here now to the scripture. Long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Remember, the disciples really got upset when he said he was going to leave, but he did. In fact, he said, the angel said, why, men of Galilee, why you stand gazing upwards? This same Jesus will come again like manner as you've seen him go. But he left here. I get so tempted when I'm talking to you. Because something we don't hear very much about anymore is that when Jesus, the ascension, he was born in a manger, gathered followers, did all the miracles, died on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead. But then he left, but he didn't leave us really. He said, if I do it again, the Spirit will not come. Because as long as he was here, he was just in one place. But I want to tell you the glory of the ascension was that he sent his Spirit to be with all of us all the time. Back to our subject. So as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And now he turns around after, because he's leaving, and he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick give light to all in their house. Look at this, what he says now. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the light has indeed come. We walk in it, but we are also the light conveyors now. That's what God wants you and I to be. There was a tragedy in a dark country road. A train, back in the old days, was crossing the road, and so somebody was put there with a lantern to swing the lantern to warn the drivers coming, but the accident took place and people were damaged immensely. A court case was held And in the courtroom, the man who was the lamp holder was questioned. Were you there? Yes, I was, sir. Did you wave your, were you on the job? Did you wave your lantern? Yes, sir, I did. Later on, after the court case was over, that man confided in a friend, said, I was waving my lantern, but there was no light in my lamp. Be really careful today. Even in religion, even in Christendom, a lot of lamps swinging, but is the light there? But the question is more pertinent to you and to me. Have I got the light? Am I walking in the light? And am I showing that light to others? Out of the darkness, light has come. Jesus was a light. But now, it's you. You, the light of the world.
Did you know that God has given you an embedded natural ability? David L. Johnston has a free ebook to help you discover your spiritual gift. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org.